And Tracy alluded to it just a little bit there about on Sunday mornings for the adult class for Sunday school on when God's people pray. That's a study that we've been going now for the second week. And there's things that begin to stir in you when you look at these things. We, within our leadership and all for this past year, we've also been going through a book which is talking about the irresistible church. And that irresistible church is talking about being a church that is irresistible to God. And so we've been going through some areas of traits of a irresistible church. One of them is it hungers for the presence of God. Another trait is that it remembers who she is. Another trait of an irresistible church is one that lives heart first. A church that practices gratefulness. A church that promotes healthy relationships. A church that is always learning. That's an irresistible church to God. Irresistible church that promotes spiritual self-feeding. You know, we can only do so much from the pulpit, from leadership, from Sunday school, from midweek, to whatever. 75% of it generally has to come from you on your side of where you're at, probably, and I just throw that percentage out there. I don't know how true that is or where it would really be, but a lot of it is yourself feeding yourself on God's Word and being in tune to Him. Because our Lord wants a personal relationship with each one of us, doesn't He? He's not talking about a personal relationship with the body, per se, but He does like that, and He is a part of that. But I think He really wants a one-on-one with us. We find because of what He says in His Word about, you know, for God so loved the world, you know, that He sent His Son, you know, to die for this world, to die for individually, for individuals out here. Anyway, we find that spiritual self-feeding, another trait of an irresistible church, connects everything to the soul. A church that chooses to love. A church that takes risk. And then the last trait is a church that can humble itself. And I think that area of being an irresistible church to God kind of strikes me in the chord of prayer, because it talks about, and we've learned and come across quite a bit of the thing of, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We've learned that today. The series talked about Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. We talked about when the disciples asked the Lord in the New Testament, it wasn't, you know, how to preach or how to sing or how to put a, you know, praise band together, or it wasn't any of those things. The disciples that were walking and working alongside of Jesus, the one thing that they asked Him was what? Lord, teach us how to pray. Because I think as they saw the Jesus, you know, Jesus said, I don't do anything but what my Father tells me, or that I see my Father doing. To do that, He has to have a close relationship with His Father, amen? And I think that close relationship comes by that of prayer, of being connected, you know, to listen. And we learned about that today, too, as far as one of the ladies that was giving her testimony say that she has to make an effort to get to quiet time to hear the Lord. She has to turn the TV off, turn the phone off, you know, whatever it is. She needs to turn these things off, as well as probably speaks to us too, doesn't it? That we too, to get to that quiet time with the Lord, and I'm guilty, or how about you? That there's always seemed to be more background noise going on when I'm trying to get in touch with God. You know, there's always something going, there's music in the background, and music is good, you know, it can kind of get you into that level of that plateau of that vein of in the presence of God. But, you know, sometimes music can crowd out the voice of God. Sometimes it's a point to where we just need to sit before Him and just ask and listen. I think Chris said that one slide that's in our slide presentation, you know, prayer is talking about, you know, praying to God, and the other part of prayer is meditating or listening to the things that God would have for us. It really doesn't do a whole lot for us if all we do is continue to ask God for things for us when we don't really put others before us or even put God before us. In our prayers, do we put God before our needs? A lot of times I don't. How about you? A lot of times I find myself God, help me this. God, do this. God, you know, prepare that for me. God, help me with that. It's all those things of, and I know that my Lord will do those things for me because of his relationship with me. How about you? But after a while, you kind of get to the point and you're thinking, wow, all I'm doing is asking him for stuff, preparing things for me. I wonder if he ever wants to just have me come to him and say, Father, I love you, and then just be quiet. And allow him to do download or whatever it might be to infuse his thoughts into us. And if we can ever sit quiet enough and still enough and keep all the commotion of this world away from us, I believe that God has a lot of things that he still wants to infuse into his children here to listen to what he wants done. And then he'll give you the ability, he'll give you the tools, he'll give you the opportunity, he will do whatever it's necessary to fulfill those things in your life because that's what he wants to perform in your life. But it's only because he can get through to us. I know that I can get through to God. His word and there's scriptures out there that as soon as our prayers go, he hears them. Amen. But I'm wondering if I turn that around and I go, I wonder when God speaks to Tim, does Tim hear? Because I know that when I pray to my God hears. Because that's the type of God he is. And so as I look at it and I'm thinking about it, it's like, you know, I've been pretty selfish. I need to listen to my God more than what I've been doing. We as a church need to be listening to God more than what we're doing. And where does that take us? I don't know. Does that take us to, you know, 24/7 prayer? I don't know. Does it take us to certain days of the week for prayer? I don't know. God is beginning to drop these things, I think, into this place to where we're at. And I don't want to do it just because to do it, but I don't want to not do it because I'm scared that, well, if I'm doing it, then people are going to think, well, you're just copying it. It's kind of a weird thing to be in, isn't it? It's like, well, you're doing it because of this. Well, maybe it is so. I don't know. Well, maybe you're doing it because, you know, God is really beginning to plow that ground and saying, this is the vein that strikes me. Amen. You know, when we think about the vein, when we think about those, anybody here go out and mine for gold? Do we have any miners here? Not me. But you hear them talking about a vein. You know, somehow they hit a vein. They do some digging and they find this thing and then there's a vein. And when they find that vein, they believe that it leads to something what? Greater. And they find out, they're thinking, wow, there's a vein of this gold or silver or some precious metal here, whatever it might be. And that gives them encouragement to go further because there's something there. There's a payoff there when they continue on that path. There is a payoff that is out of this world when we get into the vein of God of prayer and touch his heart on a daily basis. Because it'll take us to places that we don't even know for sure. We don't even know how we got there other than God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And so how does that all come about? Well, you know, we've seen in our Sunday school hour a couple of testimonies. There was a young man that had everything that he wanted, wealth, money, prestige, but, you know, he was addicted to drugs and did a lot of bad things. Well, that destroyed his life. But there was somebody that he had touched with, you know, in his realm of his occupation that this person said this. She said, Danny, the day that you call upon the Lord, he will deliver you. Well, that's out of Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. The things that we understand that God wants to do is do nothing but bring glory to who? Himself. Jesus said, I don't do anything but to bring what? Glory to my Father. That is what it is all about in our life. Our life individually, our life as a corporate body of His church, should be nothing more than to bring glory to God the Father in heaven. For those to see things different with us, to see, wow, they're this lady today said that, you know, her friend that was a Christian had such a joy and such happiness that she said, I never experienced, even though I was on drugs and did all kinds of things. This person must have been on some kind of drug that I had never been on, because they were just always happy, always upbeat, always joyful. And then this person noticed that. So that tells you a thing out there or two, that people out in the world notice things that are, you know, joyful, happiness. And they're looking like, what kind of fix is that? You know, I think Sylvia, I think was her name, she was probably thinking like, what kind of drug is that? I like to buy that. Well, this person happened to be a mutual friend because of how they met with an apartment, and this lady lived in that particular area where she was moving. And this lady all of a sudden just became her friend and just began to pray for her. She said, we had nothing in common. Do you believe God will put you across the path of somebody that doesn't have anything in common with you? I know at times we always think, well, he's going to put me across the path of people that are just like me where I was at. Not necessarily, evidently. He will put you across the path of the people he wants you to be across the path of, for you to minister to their needs through prayer, lifting that person up to God. Amen. Because that's what these last two stories have showed, is people that had nothing in the beginning with these people's lives took on the challenge or the desire or the ability to do nothing but pray for them. During their times of prayer meetings at that church, they would lift them up. You know, this lady today talked about, you know, her friend would just lift her up in prayer all these times. And she said, I'll never go to church. The day I go to church, the building's going to fall in. You know? But the last 2 weeks, what I have found, and I'm sure you guys have noticed as well, is the difference out of the whole thing was prayer. It didn't say that they, you know, enabled them, that they gave them money, or they gave them this, or they did that. They did the very basic thing that we're all called to do, and that's pray for one another. Because the day that you call upon the Lord, He will hear you, He will answer you. The thing is, do you believe God's word? Do you believe what God has put in His word for us to read, for us to meditate on, and for us to put into our life? Are you putting God's word into your life? Or is it somewhere in a book, on a shelf, on the bookstand, somewhere, well, I don't even know where it's at. But I know it's a good word, I just don't know where it's at. If we can get God's word actively working in our life every day of the week, there will be change. I can guarantee that, because God is willing to do those things. Because God's word does what? Changes people. We had those examples of Danny, you know, out on drugs, looked terrible. He was about ready to die. But prayer changed and brought him into the things of God. This Sylvia lady, drugs destroying their life. She knew it. But prayer brought them into the relationship with God. Now you're saying, well, if God wanted those people so bad, why didn't he just move down upon himself and do it? Why didn't he? Because we have been given a mission to share the gospel. We have been given a mission, I believe, to pray for others. We have been given a mission by God to say, you need to do these things. And when you do these things, I will work my miracles in those things. I will accomplish what I have set out to do, but I'm going to do it through you. Are you, any one of us? Call upon me in the day of trouble. Anybody got trouble here? I have trouble. I mean, man, if you don't have trouble in this life, what is your, what's your, There's times we all have trouble. But the Lord says, call me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you. I wonder at times when God has delivered us from our troubles and we go on our happy way. Anybody been there? I have. Been delivered of my trouble, and I'm whistling Dixie going down the path like, whew, made it through that problem. Did I miss the other part here where it says, I will deliver you and then you shall glorify me? Did I drop out of, did I lose that equation of, did I not glorify him? Did I not glorify him enough? I'm going to tell you guys, glorifying God just one time in a answered prayer is not enough. I think we ought to live, or eat, breathe, sleep, whatever, glorifying God. Amen. Thanking him, praising him, loving him. Day in and day out, when your head hits that pillow, if nothing else, just say, thank you, Father God, what a great day. You're an awesome God. I love you. Wake up in the morning. Good morning, God. Where are we going today? To be used by him, to be a part of him. And we find that in our churches. We shared too today about how, oh boy, we're just coming down on, you know, the government because they've taken the Ten Commandments out, and we're coming down on schools because they've taken prayer out. Well, I tell you what, we need to look in our churches because our churches have taken prayer out in many instances. And even here, we're not exempt from that. We have come to the point and place and time to where we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that, and this, and this. And then if we got time, we'll pray over the offering and we'll pray over the time to go and just bless them, Lord, as we go. What would change in your life? What would change in the life of this church if 90% of the time we were here was nothing but prayer? Ever thought of that? The comment made today in our study by the pastor said that he has seen God and more power of God in 5 minutes of prayer than 50 minutes of a sermon that he would have done. Because that's the God that we serve. And I believe that's the type of God, or our God, that, you know, he wants to be put back in to the rightful place, to where he belongs. The center of the churches, the center of our reasons, why do we get together? I think somebody had made a comment this morning about, I was sharing about some of the revival and all back in the 1800s, and somebody said, you know, they used to call, you know, going to church was just prayer meetings, you know. That was like the big thing. Like, we have a prayer meeting. A lot of churches back in those times, that was the big thing. Prayer meeting at this time, prayer meeting on this day, prayer meeting, you know, these days. Did a lot of praying. And even in the beginning, it didn't take off quickly, and it didn't multiply into thousands, but eventually it did. I just began reading last night. I was looking on something about the 1800 revivals and all that, and I didn't realize I had downloaded, but then it, once I closed out, I don't have it. So I have to go back online. But I just began to kind of skim through it a little bit about some of the revivals of the 1800s, 1850s and things, and how they began. And they all began pretty low-key. Started out like 4 or 5 people. Maybe a month or two later, 5 or, you know, maybe 50 or 60 or whatever. But as the time developed and grew, and as these people truly were nothing but praying, we found people by the thousands at noon, I think, in some of these big cities. At 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock was a prayer meeting, and people would come out of the factories, and actually they said some of the factories let their people go at 5 till the hour so that they could leave their job, go to where this prayer meeting was, pray for an hour, then come back to work. That's when you begin to see revival. When everybody puts more emphasis on it than on the stuff that we want to do, or on individual type things and church services that we might want to put together. This Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, They've got a group and they've got a room or two that they meet in, and it's called the prayer band, B-A-N-D, like, you know, the band, like the worship band, praise band. They got a prayer band. And these people go into this room, however many, and they take the prayer requests that come in now, of course, you know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, very well known, very big. I'm sure they got a lot of requests that come in through, you know, the mail, through telephone, email, I don't know. But they take these things and these requests and they pray, and that's their prayer band. Wow, interesting. So as we go through God's Word and we look at the things that we are dealing with, you know, there's healings out there. There's times of encouragement. Does anybody need to be encouraged? How about promises? Does somebody out there need to hear God's promises? Does somebody have, you know, the needs? I maybe have already said that. But there's scriptures in His Word for these things. You know, if I was looking at for healing, of course, we know that Jesus, on 1 Peter 2:24, bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Matthew 8:17, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Anybody out there have infirmities? Anybody out there have sicknesses? You know, I'm dealing with a little cough right now. Oh, thank you, Dan. Thank you, sir. But those things happen. It's the time of the season. You know, if you go out and cut the grass in short sleeve shirt, even though it's cool out, what's going to happen? But we know that He's our healer. We know that He's there, that He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Psalms 147:3. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be what? In health, just as your soul prospers. Wow. There's some powerful scriptures that we should be looking at and reminding ourselves of, and we will do that as we come into a time of prayer, as we come into a time of looking to what God has said. Encouragement. If God be for us, who can be against us? Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Can you believe? If you can't believe, you're going to have a problem. But if you can believe, amen, all things are possible. Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. These are scriptures that are in His Word that should be vitamins, medicine, whatever we want to call it, you know, minerals, something to our life, to our situation. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then 1 John 4:4, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Who is in you? Who is in you? Christ in you, then you're going to overcome the things that come across your path because it says that he's there. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Then Philippians 1:6, be confident of this very thing, that he who's what? Begun a good work in you. He's going to be faithful to do what? Complete it. I think these are like vitamins. These are like power pills, man. These are things that should just get us ramped up to know that nothing out there that I come across this week is going to defeat me. Now, I will have problems. I will have tribulation. I will have difficulties. I will have, you know, these troubles and all that. But are they there, and will I allow them to sink me? Will I allow them to defeat me? Will I allow them to control my life? Or will I stand in God's word and with his word and on his promises and say, but this is what my Lord says, this is who my God is, but it's having that relationship with him. You know, we can't just pull these things out of our back pocket when you've not served him for the last 30 days and all of a sudden you got a problem. You're going to pull this sucker out and go, okay, the Lord says this. Well, yeah, he does say that. But have you served him the last 30 days? The last year? The last week? The last whatever? Are you truly his? Now, who's going to answer that? Only you can answer that. But you know what? If it's not been that way, he loves you. Simple to say, I failed, Lord. Forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for, you know, the washing of my sins away. And Father, I failed in this and I should have done better. I should have done this. I should have done that, Lord. Would you give me another chance, Lord? Could I come back? Could I be there with you, Lord? He'll say, sure. That's what I'm here for. But the thing is, why do we get to that point in our lives to where we have to go crawling back to him all the time? Rather than just staying in that relationship with him so that you remain strong in him. So that no matter what has happened, no matter what you're dealing with, you don't have to grapple about it and, well, Lord, okay, I should have been doing more of this with you. I should have been part of this. I should have done that. Or you've told me to do this and I've not done this. Blah, blah, blah. And we get all these things that we've got to kind of like, uh-oh. But if we would just walk our lives out, staying true to him, I was going to say it's not easy, but it should be easy when you know the payoff is so good, amen, that he's there for you, that he will make a way where there seems to be a way. All these things that he has helped us with. But we find out that we're where we're at, and in this day and age, that there's a lot of things that come across our paths that will try to segregate us from the things of God, and that will detour us from the things of what God has for us. And the thing we've got to be is we've got to be wise enough to know when that happens, and smart enough to shut it down, to change, to do it differently. Oh, Jeremiah 1:12, I am ready to perform my word. God is saying this, I am ready to perform my word. We've had some powerful words that we've already shared earlier about encouragements and healing and all that. And he's talking about, I'm ready to perform those things. Ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it, he says. Whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. And we've hit this several times the last few weeks in James. The effective, fervent prayer of that righteous man avails much. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now you can't pray that, you know, Lord, I'm going to rob a bank and I pray that I have a good getaway. That ain't going to work, you know. So don't go crazy on us here. John 15:16, wow. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that wherever you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Then one other thing, I guess, if I look into the scriptures for needs, we have needs out there. It says that your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Isn't that a wonderful Father to have? Father God, he already knows what you need. And those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything that is good. commit your ways. And this is probably one of the areas that kind of, there's a lot of defining things. A lot of defining things in God's word that kind of fulfills the promises that he has. In Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your ways to the Lord. And that's an area in our lives today that we, and I guess it's always been somewhat kind of a sensitive issue, but today it seems even more and more, there's not a lot of people out there that want to commit. They'll do it for a season, they'll do it for a while, we'll be there okay, and then when it no longer interests me, I may not be there, or something else might come along. I don't really want to commit to the whole thing. You know? Have you seen that in society recently? Commitment is something that is not there. We'll do it as long as it feels good. I'll be a part of it as long as I get something out of it. Whatever the case might be. Commitment. But we've got to be committed to the Lord. And we, as a church, need to be committed to the things of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. Lord, I don't understand the situation. Lord, how is this going to happen? How is this going to be a better outcome? Well, his word says, call to him. He's going to answer. He'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then he's going to show you these things that you will see his hand move in your situation. Has anybody here seen the Lord's hand move in a situation that you've had? I hope everybody raises their hand eventually. Think about it. Somewhere along the line, God has moved mightily in my situation. I knew and know that it had to be God. It wasn't by happenstance, accident, nothing like that. It's like, wow, Lord, you moved mightily. In these lives that we've looked at in the last couple of weeks on this prayer thing, mightily God moved in these lives, changing them. If you would see their before pictures and now their after pictures, you know, and how they have changed, how they cleaned up good, you know. Thinking of the one guy from last week, you know, he was frail looking and down to like 110 pounds and just shriveled up. He had all kinds of, you know, three types of hepatitis and all these things is ravaging his body. And now he's, you know, he's got, you know, meat on the bones and he looks good. And this young lady was talking about, you know, just how she was. And the thing that spoke to her, though, when she went to that church for the first time, is that the pastor's message was talking about love, God's love for you. And that's the thing that people are looking for, aren't they? Believe it or not, we're all looking for love, for somebody to accept us, for somebody to love us, you know, for who we are, that we don't have to play games, we don't have to pretend who we're not. And God knows us, and God loves us. And so, she was saying that, yeah, that message that he spoke on, God's love for me, I just broke down and started crying because she needed that. And the way she got there was that friend praying for her and keeping her in prayer for I don't know how many weeks or months it was before that thing came full circle. We've had that in our Bible study or our Sunday school a few weeks or one or two of the sessions back about a contagious Christian to where, you know, as we see people out there and we begin to befriend them and build a relationship with them, sometimes we think that we want to get them, you know, saved and in the church and doing all these things within like, you know, like a 30-day program. And one of the things that they spoke about in that lesson plan was that it took like 6 or 8 months before this guy and his family came to church. But it took a lot of people praying and just building relationship. And there it is, guys. It's that commonality thing that we find is what? Prayer. Pray about these things. Do you have a loved one that or a family member or a friend or somebody at your work that is away from God or doesn't even have God in their life? What should you do? Pray. Family member, pray. Maybe somebody had a relationship with God and they've fallen away. What should you do? Pray. It is so simple, but yet it is something that we don't do because we don't understand it. We think that prayer is some kind of, something that's way out there, that you've got to, have all kinds of doctrinal training, and you got to have, read 12 books on how to pray, when to pray, the right prayer, all these things. We get to that point in time where sometimes we have made it to where it's difficult when God said it is not difficult. I think sometimes want to make things difficult, so that's the reason why we don't do it. Well, it sounds like it's really hard to do. That's not my cup of tea. I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm not saying become a prayer warrior. I'm just saying become a person of prayer. Or an intercessor. I'm not saying we got to have intercessor groups here. I'm just saying let's just pray. Believe it or not, when you begin to pray for other people, you automatically become a what? Intercessor. Because you're interceding for somebody. But if we put these names on it and we put these, titles on it, people go, oh, I'm not that powerful in prayer. That's not my calling, or that's not for me. We've all been called to prayer. we've all been called to prayer. We like to choose bits and pieces of the kingdom of God or our church life to fulfill and fit our need of what we want, so that we don't get overly involved, overly part of God's kingdom. So we got to be careful there. But we've all been called to be that prayer person, that prayer. And when you begin to pray more and more, and you're listening to God, and you really hear something in the Spirit, and the Spirit says you need to pray for this person. Their life's, is going down the tubes. All of a sudden, you might become a prayer warrior. Because you see what's happening and you see the importance of, I've got to pray for this. I've got to be whatever this person needs. I got to keep them lifted up. So little by little, you become an intercessor. You become a prayer warrior. But if we would name those things and say, sign up on this list, probably nobody would sign up. Because lists have a way of scaring people. Oh, I can't listen. I can't put my name on that. They'll expect me there all the time. Or I'm not bad. And really we are. Let's get to that level to where we can become prayer people. And just fulfill that to God. And that we can just listen, meditate, hear, pray. Listen, meditate, pray. Things on prayer 31, lift up in prayer. Things that you hear in the news, lift up in prayer. But you know what? Let's get to the point where we just pray for an awakening in this nation of God. God's awake. I'm not like I got to wake up God. Okay, God, wake up. No, it's waking up the people. It's waking up this nation to say, hey, receive him again. And there will be another outpouring of his Spirit around this nation. There will be. Now, we can either do it by calling upon him, praying to him, crying out to him in times of good, or wait until the times of bad come and we cry out, and there's a lot more to dig through. I would rather look at the front end of it and pray and be connected to him before any problems and struggles come up. He will be there at either one. But I think if we wait until it gets detrimental times over here, I believe my father would say, why did you let it go that far? If you would have just cried out to me, been a people of prayer like I wanted, that church that you had down there, whatever it is, ABC Church, XYZ Church, Harvesters Church, you name it church, church of this way, church of that way, church get out of the way. If you've just been a house of prayer, that's all I was wanting you to be. That's what I've called my church. My church shall be called a house of prayer. and we have come through and we have put all kinds of things on it that we want it to be. God will not share the throne with anybody else. He's not going to allow what you want to be a part of what he wants. He's going to say, it's my way. It's my way. And we realize that when it's his way, it's a much better way. It's a much fuller way. It's a much blessed and better. Our needs are met. Our things are better. You know, whatever it is, it just happens because it's God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Is there something wrong with that? I hope not, because it's God. That's what God says his house shall be. So I hope and I pray that you go with me on this journey of wherever God is taking us in this realm or level of prayer. I believe God will do phenomenal things. He has already done them to people's lives. You know, as I look around here, everybody here have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That's the most amazing miracle right there that we've got. That we've received Christ as our Lord. You know, if he stops right there blessing us, what more would he really need to do? He's guaranteed me a place in heaven, and eternity is where I will be. But God doesn't stop right there. God says, there's more I've got for you. Why do you not receive it where you're at? Because all this abundance and all this other stuff, I'm not going to need it when I get to heaven. Will I? Heaven, there's no need for this, there's no need for that. But he wants us to have that here where we're at as well. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it sparingly. Mediocre. A little bit here, a little bit there. I have come to give you life more abundantly. And you look up that word abundant, abundantly, and it's like super abundant. You know, you add super above anything, it's like, wow, super is more. You know? Because think of the gas station way back, you know, when it used to be just regular and Ethel. Where's Ethel? She's gone. Now we got, you know, unleaded and, you know, gasohol. But every once in a while you find something out there, you know, that's premium, you know. The real gas. But that super abundance that Christ has given for us. And I think when we tap into prayer, I think when we hit God's heart in that, I think there's just going to be the, you know, you think of it in the natural when, you know, you blow up something, you talk about collateral damage. I don't think it's going to be, but when you hit God with prayer and just pray to him and keep in prayer and just talk to him and meditate on him, the collateral blessings that come from that are things that happen to where it's like all of a sudden they're there. And how do they get there? It's just his blessings because he loves you. He's blessing you because you've spoke to him. You're praying to him. You're interceding. You're praying for the church. You're praying for this. You're praying for that. You're praying for someone out there that's lost. Whatever it is, you're touching the heart of God. And I think we need to touch the heart of God more often. You know, as a church, as individuals, I believe, and then corporately we can come together and open these things up. Hallelujah. Next week, it came up in our video this morning, and I've listened to it many times this week, and I never really picked, well, I've listened to it and I heard it, but it didn't hit me until this morning, that Jim Cimbala had spoke at a conference in Indianapolis some years back. And it was a music-type conference, and they had invited him in to speak on just one of their sessions. And he shared this morning about how, you know, throughout that night, he was going to just give a sweet little message, you know. But the Lord impressed upon him, no, pray or speak this, that my house shall be called a house of prayer. He goes, that's kind of like in your face. He goes, these people aren't going to want to hear that. God, I'm here, you know, to kind of give a nice, cute little message. And he said he couldn't lay it down. It just, all through that night. Well, he ends up preaching that message at that conference. He said he hadn't even watched it, but I guess he said it's gone all around the world. So I thought, why? Why didn't I ever think of that to even look it up? But I would think maybe next week is pulling it up on, it is out there on YouTube, and it's about a 50-minute message, and maybe, let Jim share what he shared at that conference in Indianapolis in the early 2000s, like 2002 or 3 or 5, I can't remember exactly when. But to listen to what he shared to those people, because I believe it is a message that we need to hear and we need to tap into. And we need to understand this in a little deeper vein, remember? Like that vein of gold or precious metal, that vein leads us to, you know, much greater treasures. And I'm not saying this treasure that I want God to just throw money down on us and we're going to be wealthy and all that. No, the treasure is touching his heart and blessing him and glorifying him. Because I believe, and I come to understand, if we could just get so close to him, that's what he wants. And all these other things shall be added unto you. Amen. Amen. So next week, I think we'll probably do that. And matter of fact, I didn't even pull up my message that I had for today, because this just all hit me. It's amazing how these things hit you, like as soon as you get to church type of a thing. But they had like a sermon and all that we could use for this Pray 31, and I kind of put that together and some things. 12 reasons why we pray. But I just felt to kind of speak a little bit off of my heart and just kind of like pull out some scriptures here and just allow the Spirit of God to flow with us today. And I hope tap into us. Because I want to tap into him. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll wait on you for your tithes and offerings. Thank you, Father. You know, this time that we come to this, in some eyes, In the church world or even out there, people looking in at the church, they think, oh, this is what church is all about. And this is not what church is all about, really. You know, the giving time, it's a time of really where we come together and